Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Right now, if God says to you, I am Jehovah, what does it mean to you? Does it impact you in any way or not at all? Some of you might think and say, well, so what? No big deal. It was very important to Moses. If you are in serious trouble in a foreign country, and if you receive a phone call from your prime minister, and then he introduced himself to you, I am your prime minister, he mentioned his name, and you are in serious trouble, what kind of reaction will you receive? What will you feel? One moment in great fear, and then now he calls you up and assures you, I am the Prime Minister, and I will do everything within my power to help you, to deliver you. In times of peace and tranquility, when you and I are not in trouble, the names of great people in your life will probably mean nothing, not much, very insignificant. Because you don't need their help, you are fine, you are healthy, you are stable, you are contented. Moses was not in that state and condition. In Exodus chapter 3, he had been called by God to go to Pharaoh, the most powerful man in Egypt, that had incarcerated and treated more than 2 million Israelites as slaves for the past 430 years. And Moses was one man. In Exodus 3, God had equipped him and called him, gave him 2 miracles to demonstrate to the elders of Israel, to inform them that he had truly been called by God Almighty to take them out of Egypt. And so they all agreed after they witnessed the miracle performed by Moses and listened to his testimony. And they believed that he was God's representative to represent Israel to take them out of Egypt. And so Moses went. Sadly, tragically, Pharaoh was full of pride and arrogance. And instead of letting the people go, he increased the workload. And the lives of the people of Israel got from bad to worse. They were not given straws to make bricks, but the number of bricks they must produce every day remained the same. And because of that, they were not able to produce the required number, and the Egyptian masters beat them. And they suffered more, and because of that, they went to Moses and they murmured and complained and said, who asked you to represent us before Pharaoh? Instead of helping us, now you have made our lives even more miserable. And that was exactly Moses' dilemma. And Moses also complained to God because he was extremely discouraged. And so he said in chapter 5, verse 22, Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. He came out of the wilderness after spending 40 years there. And then God called him, and now he found himself in a very, very difficult position that he never asked for. All he did was to obey the Lord. And so what did the Lord say to him? I am Jehovah. That was it. You mean the utterance of the fact that God Almighty is Jehovah should be sufficient to give the kind of courage and stability in Moses' life. And then Moses was supposed to take the same 3 words and tell it to the people of Israel that are now in great, complete disarray and discouragement. They have absolutely no hope. They were hopeless, in great torment and pain. And Moses, you go to them in this state and condition and tell them, God is Jehovah. That was it. That was enough to lift up the spirit of Moses and lift up the heart and the mind of 2 million Israelites that were so low in confidence that you and I can't even imagine what it must have been like to be born into slavery, and then all their lives they have never even tasted one single second of what it means to be a free man. That had been their lot for 430 years, generation after generation of Israelites born. The moment you wake up, the moment you come out of your mother's womb, a slave. And they died as slaves for many generations except Moses' generation. They will be free men. They will be delivered. And all they needed to know is, I am Jehovah. Now that is the context. And I hope you and I, at the end of this sermon, when you hear this phrase from God, not from me, I am Jehovah, it must instill in you and me the kind of confidence to have that kind of assurance in God Himself that whatever you may face on this earth, that no matter how discouraged and how strong our enemies are, you will find the courage to stand true to your God Almighty because He is Jehovah to you. That was all that God said to Moses when he was so low in confidence. The Lord said to Moses, I know your state and condition. Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. With a strong hand shall he let them go. With a strong hand shall he drive them out of this land. I did ask you and sent you, Moses, to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And you did well. And now I'm going to demonstrate to you, I'm going to show you by a strong hand that it will happen. Pharaoh will be so happy to let them go. He will be so happy to drive them out. And the word drive is where we get the English word divorce. He will be so happy to get rid of them that he won't even want to see them again. Right now, it may seem impossible to you because of the arrogance of the most powerful man in Egypt. Now remember, the Egyptians regarded Pharaoh as God. Very, very powerful. He can take any Egyptian's life at will and nobody can touch him. Now that was Pharaoh. He had his mighty army behind him. And that is his power. And Moses was one man. And now they're going to see how powerful the God of Moses is. And all God had to say to Moses was this, in verse 2, Moses, I am the Lord. That's it, I am Jehovah. Now the word Jehovah is translated most of the time in the King James Bible using all capital letters, L-O-R-D. When you see only the L as capital, O-R-D as small case, lower case, it means Adonai. It means master. All right, a different meaning. And that's how you distinguish. Sometimes, when the word Lord, Jehovah and Adonai appear together, then you may see in the translation, capital G-O-D, all capital. And then capital L, small O, small R, small D. God, Lord. That will be Lord, Lord, actually. Right? To make the distinction. So God, Lord. But when you have Lord, God, please understand. God is now marrying the two words together. Elohim and Jehovah. What does that mean for us? When God said to Moses in verse 3, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, by the name God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Now what exactly does this mean? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, did they not know the name Jehovah? Of course they did. Genesis 15:7. is an example of the word Jehovah found in Genesis 15 verse 7, where God was speaking with Abraham. And he said unto him, I am Jehovah that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. So the word Jehovah had already appeared much earlier in the book of Genesis when God introduced himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah, and all the others. So what exactly did God mean when he said to Moses, I appeared unto Abraham, I appeared unto Isaac, I appeared unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. So this known does not mean that they did not know Jehovah. They did. But what it means is simply this. They will not know Jehovah the way that you are going to know me, because God will demonstrate his power through the 10 plagues, including later on the parting of the Red Sea and the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud by day and night. None of them, not Abraham, not Isaac, not Jacob, will be able to see me in the kind of power that I'm going to demonstrate to them, where God will link God Almighty with Jehovah as one person. And God will show it in the midst of Moses and the people of Israel, where you're going to know me as your personal, individual, covenantal God. And that's why the phrase, I am Jehovah, must conjure into the mind of Moses and to all of us who are God's children. That the God of this universe is your personal God, who has entered into a covenant with you, because the word Lord, Jehovah, always emphasizes the covenantal relationship, as you can see from this context. That's why God said, I am Jehovah, and then he said that I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To talk about the continuity. And that is very reassuring to Moses. In what way? In what way? In other words, Moses, your life is a continuation of what God had already started to do in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's life. And when you study their lives, they can also trace their life all the way back to Noah. If you go further, you can trace it all the way back to Adam. Moses, you must understand the significance and importance of your life. It is just one piece of a very important puzzle in God's plan of salvation for mankind. In other words, you must not fail me. If you fail me, all that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had done will be in vain. Do you realize that? I took them out of Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham and his wife. They stayed in the land of Canaan, which is the land of promise, for 100 years. And during that time, I worked in their lives. I gave birth to Abraham and Sarah a son. His name was Isaac. He remained in the land of promise all the days of his life. And I gave him a son, Jacob, to continue the formation of the nation of Israel, through whom the Messiah will one day come. In other words, your life, Moses, has a spiritual significance that will impact eternity, impact the whole world, impact your life and my life. That's what the phrase, I am Jehovah, must mean to Moses when God comforted him, to give him a complete perspective of his calling and his life. It has an eternal global impact, just like that of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because the Messiah that must come to deliver you, deliver me from the bondage of sin and the penalty which is death and hell, cannot be born out of a Gentile nation. He must be born out of a nation designed by God. And Moses, you are part of that piece of the important puzzle. And when you look at your life from this perspective, from God's perspective, a continuation of the work of God, it will give you the necessary courage and perspective in life. Just as they passed the test, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, you must too. And what was the test I have just given you? Go to Pharaoh, tell him to let my people go. You think I will fail you? I am a covenant-keeping God. I told you, you will succeed. You will be in the promised land. You will get out of Egypt with my people. You cannot fail because I will never fail. I've never failed anyone in the past, and I will not fail you today, Moses. You must see and understand this. And I will show you by a mighty hand how Pharaoh will be so swift and so desirous to let my people go, like someone divorcing his spouse. And that is the way that my people will leave Egypt. They will be driven out. And Pharaoh and the Egyptians can't wait to get rid of Israel. Right now, it appears impossible. Who would, in their right mind, give up 2 million free labor? 2 million of slaves that they have been using for the past 400 plus years, building all their buildings, their pyramids and their sphinx, or whatever it is. Why not? Free labor. You don't have to pay them anything, and they are so obedient. The value of 2 million plus slaves, you can't put a price to it. That's why, as far as Moses was concerned, it was an impossibility. Who in their right mind would want to give up 2 million slaves? And yet God said, I am Jehovah. I will make sure that it becomes a reality. You trust me. You never go in your own name. You go in my name, Jehovah. And you will succeed. And I have also established my covenant with them, that is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them the land of Canaan, the promised land that I just told you, Moses, in Exodus 3, when I called you out of the burning bush, the land of their pilgrimage, where they remained there all the days of their lives, wherein they were strangers. And I've also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Basically, God is telling Moses, I am in control. The groaning of the people of Israel is exactly the state and condition I want them to be in order for the Exodus to succeed. You must know that in order for the Exodus to succeed, Pharaoh and the millions of Egyptians, we do not know how many, with their mighty chariots and army, must want to let Israel go. Moses must want to lead the people into the promised land, and the 2 million Israelites, the slaves, must also want to leave. Just because you want them to go does not mean that they want to leave, right? And all three factors must occur all at the same time in order for it to succeed. Does God have the power to control the hearts and the minds of 2 million Israelites, that all of them will want to leave at the same time? It cannot be 10 tribes out of 12. It has to be everyone in the 12 tribes. All of them must want to go. And then the millions of Egyptians must want to let them go. And Moses must lead by faith. And all happen at the same time. Do you believe that Jehovah has the power? He has. And that's what the phrase, I am Jehovah, must mean to Moses. As he was in despondency, he was completely void of any semblance of confidence because of the great failure. Instead of going there and succeed, things got from bad to worse. The people now wanted to get rid of him. And he was disheartened. And God said 3 words, I am Jehovah. Are you in that state and condition too? Discouraged, disheartened in service? Too many enemies around you? The problem seems so overwhelming that there seems to be no way out. All you need is 3 words from God. I am Jehovah. I will never fail you. What I promise you, what I assure you, will happen. as a servant of the Most High God. Rest assured, I promise you, nothing on this earth can ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So never doubt my love for you, God says. I am Jehovah. I have been always on earth, helping, guiding, supporting, providing, sustaining all my servants in the past. All these thousands of years, I've never failed a single faithful servant of mine, God says. I always will love them. Don't measure my love based upon the difficulty of your circumstances in life. You may not delight in the trial that you have to experience, which is meant to drive you closer to God, your Heavenly Father, so that you may lean on Him more. And it is never meant to drive you farther away from Him, to lean on Him less. You must understand, I am Jehovah. I gave you my covenant seal by the blood of Christ, which means I will never fail you. If I ever fail you, that means the blood of Christ is not enough to take away all your sins. That means you are still in bondage to sin. That means you are still going to hell. But you know that that is not the case. The blood of Christ is the blood that is able to wash away all our sins. And it has now delivered us from the bondage of sin, and you have experienced the deliverance in your own life. And your destiny is now in heaven, in the presence of God, no more in hell. And therefore, whatever you may face and encounter, no matter how horrendous and how difficult, no matter how strong and mighty the enemies are, just like what Moses faced in the midst of Pharaoh and his mighty army and his millions of Egyptians backing him, it was an impossible situation. And yet, all God needed to say to Moses was, I am Jehovah. You trust me. I made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to promise that they will inherit the land of Canaan, and they were my pilgrims, and they stayed there all the days of their lives. Abraham came out and he arrived there at the age of 75, and he remained there for 100 years, and so did Isaac and Jacob after him. And they remain there as a trust, as a faith in God, that this is our promised land. And that's why they were all buried there in the cave of Machpelah as a seal of their faith, because this is home. And God said to Moses, I am Jehovah, and I will always keep my word. And this is my promise and assurance to you, Moses, no matter how powerful you may think Pharaoh is in your eyes, I am more powerful than him. And God demonstrated that in a few chapters from chapter 6. One plague after another, and every plague increased in intensity, culminating in the death of the firstborn of Pharaoh and the firstborn sons in Egypt, especially in the palace, in Pharaoh's home, was supposed to be the next god who would take over him. And when the firstborn of Pharaoh died, it is as good as telling Pharaoh the message, your god just got killed by Jehovah. And they were devastated, and they could not wait to drive Israel out of Egypt, which was exactly what they did at the end of the 10 plagues. And that's what Moses must take home with him when God said to him, I am Jehovah. And that is exactly what you and I tonight must take home when you hear the phrase from God, I am Jehovah. That whatever lot in life that you may be facing, no matter how powerful your enemies might appear, your situation might appear hopeless. Yes, to man, it is completely hopeless, just like it was hopeless to Moses. Moses had no army. Moses had no charioteers. He had no one but Jehovah. And that's all he needed. And he experienced that in his life. And everything that God promised him came to pass. And all he needed from the Lord to assure him, I am Jehovah. But what about to the rest of the Israelites? Because God said, I know they are groaning. Now you tell them this. Look at verse 6. I know they are groaning. I know they are completely devastated by the situation of you going to Pharaoh and how Pharaoh increased unjustly their workload and beaten them up because of their failure to produce. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, what? I am the Lord too. Same thing. You see that? I'm the Lord. Just as God said to his servant to lift up his spirit, to give him the courage to do what is right, I am the Lord, you now say the same to the people of Israel. In other words, Moses, if you do not understand the meaning and significance of I am the Lord, you will not be able to help the people of Israel by telling them I am the Lord, because they're going to ask you, so Moses, what does that mean? That's why the servant of God, that's why you who are God's children must understand the meaning of the phrase I am the Lord in your own life before you go out, especially into the world, to tell the world that God is Jehovah. You and I know the world is in a deeper state and condition than the people of Israel. They were groaning because of their Egyptian master. The people in the world are groaning in sin because of the master called sin, whose wages is death. The wages of the Egyptian master was persecution. They were beaten. But the master that is controlling the world out there, the people who are in sin and not even aware of their destiny called hell, you know, you go to them, they are groaning in sin, even though they are not aware of their eternal destiny, which is hell itself. You go out there and you tell them, God is Jehovah. He is able to save you from the bondage of sin. You see all the many verbs that God wanted Moses to tell the people of Israel. I will bring you out, I will reach you out, I will redeem you, I will take you, I will be to you a God, I am the Lord your God, I will bring you into the land, I will give it you for an heritage. The key is I. God will do it. You see all the verbs? What the world needs out there, just as what Israel needed, is what God will do based upon what Christ has done. But you have to first experience it in your own life. Otherwise, you cannot speak with conviction, and the people who hear you will not believe you. That's why God had to say to Moses first, I am Jehovah. And when he understood this, now you go tell Israel, I am Jehovah. That's it. I am the Lord. So that they will learn to trust. They will learn to lean upon the Lord, to know that the Lord is the one who will deliver out of Egypt. And getting out of Egypt is only the beginning. It's the easiest part. Because the next is the wilderness wandering. And then the entrance, where they will have to conquer and defeat all the mighty Canaanites that lived in high walled up cities. And they were giants. All well-trained soldiers. And all they need, I am the Lord. If I say you're going to occupy the promised land, which God repeatedly tell them in the first five books of the Bible, when you enter, not if, when you enter, this is what you must do. When you enter, you're going to live in sealed houses. You're going to be landlords. You're going to own farms, and you're going to own vineyards. You're going to own many flocks, cattle, sheep, goats, and all these will be yours to enjoy. And you're going to dwell in sealed houses that are called your own. And in that state and condition, when you enter, don't forget me. Because that is the time when you are most prone to forget me and fall into sin. God used the word when to encourage them. It's guaranteed, in other words, because I am the Lord. Not how powerful your enemies are, or not how weak you are. It's who I am that you must go in your confidence, so that you will not fear the enemies around you. And that's how you must go out and tell the world that is steep in sin. God will bring them out of the burdens of sin, in this case the Egyptians. God will rid them out of their bondage of sin. God is the one who will redeem them with a stretch of arm and with great judgments. And in our case, in our context, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The world needs Jesus Christ. The world needs to see Jesus Christ in the lives of people who have believed in Jehovah God. And that's you. And that's how you must go into the world. That's how, students, you go to school in the name of Jehovah. to know that you are an important piece in God's plan of salvation on this earth before the second coming of Christ. Just as Moses was an important piece in God's plan of salvation before the first coming of Christ. There are many people today who need to hear Christ. And you carry with you in your body the gospel of Jesus Christ by your life of holiness. And then you share the gospel with them. They need to be saved. They need to hear Christ in order to be saved. For soon the Lord will return. And your life and my life is that very important part of God's plan. God's continuous plan that He started immediately the moment Adam sinned against God in the Garden of Eden. And you and I are privileged to be part of this important tapestry of God's plan of salvation until the Lord's return, where this plan of salvation for this earth will end. And you and I are privileged to participate in God's amazing plan to save souls in the 21st century. Does that not give us the right perspective for living? That you and I can get out of our mundane, humdrum perspective, thinking that what you do when you go to work is meaningless, it's hopeless, it's just waiting to be destroyed by fire? No. Yes, all that you see with your naked eyes will be destroyed by fire, but all that you do for Christ is invisible. It will follow you into eternity. The souls that God will use you to give the gospel to, where the Spirit will take the word of God, and with your testimony of a transformed life, God will bring conviction and conversion. There is so much you can do with so little time that will last for eternity. You know how wonderful it is, how great and how rewarding it is to our soul to know that you have a hand in the salvation of others. To know that you have a hand in building up the faith of brothers and sisters in Christ, because some of them are despondent, some of them are discouraged, and God can use you to tell them, God is Jehovah. He will never fail you. He has never failed anyone before. He made a covenant with you the moment you believe in Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and that covenant will last forever, forever, for eternity. And that was exactly what God wanted Moses to tell the people of Israel. And I will take you to me for a people after I have taken you out of Egypt, and I will be to you a God. You tell them. You tell the people in the world. You tell your friends. And you shall know that I am Jehovah, your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you unto the land concerning which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am Jehovah. That's it. I will never break my word. I will never, never break my word. So every word, every promise that you read in Holy Scriptures, it will always be fulfilled. Not a single jot and tittle will fall to the ground unfulfilled, because God is Jehovah, a covenant keeping God. You can trust everything you read in God's holy word. And God says to us, we are all conceived in sin, and therefore we are born in sin. And God says to us that we are all totally depraved, and we cannot save ourselves, and our righteousness are as filthy rags in His sight. God did not leave us in that state of condemnation. God did something because He loved you. And He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you. And God accepted what Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary by raising Him from the dead, to let you know that if you truly believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, it is enough to take away all your sins so that death will no longer afflict you. Because if you die in sin, you end up in hell, and no one can take you out of hell. You will stay there for eternity until God sends you into the lake of fire. And it is a place of great pain and torment, because of the sin that you have committed against a thrice holy God. And that is what God's judgment will be like. And God says, I do not want to see anyone end up in that state and condition. And that's why God says to Moses and say to all of us, you go out and you tell them, you tell any believer who is discouraged, remember God is Jehovah. And if a sinner who does not know Christ, you tell them, God who is Jehovah has sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for you, to want to enter into a covenant with you, sealed by the blood of Christ, a covenant that can never be broken, which includes delivering you from the bondage of sin, to take death and hell out of your life, and to call you his people, and to become your God, where one day when your life on earth is done, you will be with him for eternity, for he is also your heavenly Father. And the Jehovah covenantal keeping God is the personal God only to the people of Israel, nobody else. Remember that. It is a personal name that God ascribed only to the people of Israel, because God has entered into the covenant, a covenant with them through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God has done the same to you and to me. So now when you hear the phrase, I am Jehovah, it must mean something personal to you. It must conjure into your mind that I have entered into a covenant with God, and God has entered into a covenant with me, sealed by the blood of Christ, and all the promises that God has given to me in Holy Scriptures can never be broken, because God always keeps his word. And God is a God who loves covenant. He is a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God. And so if you're truly born again in Christ, you can rest at peace. Nothing on this earth, no sinner, no sin, no evil, nothing can ever separate you from him for eternity. Don't be afraid of any disease, any accidents. Don't be afraid of death. Have peace in your heart. Whatever difficulty you may be going through, your God will assure you, just as he assured Moses, who was in despondency, I am Jehovah. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee, O Lord, for who thou art. For very often, when we look at our own lives, we see how many covenants are broken, contracts are despised, even when there are witnesses, because we live in a world where covenants are easily broken. But we thank thee, O Lord, that tonight, based upon what you have recorded for us in your relationship with Moses, that you are indeed a covenant-keeping God. The covenant that you have made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob may have been for hundreds of years since the time when you confronted Moses, and yet you have promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that this is the promised land. And you have given Moses the assignment to claim the promised land by leading God's people out of the bondage of Egypt into the promised land. For thou art indeed a covenant-keeping God. Thou hast delivered us from the bondage of sin, and you have promised us that our promised land is to be found in heaven in eternity with God himself, our Heavenly Father. And we thank thee, O Lord, that based upon who thou art as Jehovah, you will always keep this promise and covenant. And this is our assurance. And may this grant us the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that the world cannot know, neither could the world give. But you have given this peace to us, so that whatever we may face and encounter on this earth, no matter how sorrowful, no matter how painful, no matter how difficult, and no matter how strong our enemies are, we have nothing to be afraid of, because thou art Jehovah to us, just as you are to Moses and to the people of Israel. May this be our word of encouragement to others, to let them know that God Almighty is Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, a covenant that is sealed by the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Be with someone in our midst, O Lord, who is still in the bondage of sin, who does not know God as Jehovah. May thy Holy Spirit bring conviction and cause this person to humble himself and to cry to Jesus Christ and accept him as Lord and as Savior with all his heart, so that he may also experience the peace of God that passeth all understanding, to know that from henceforth God Almighty is his Jehovah as well. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.